Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast, your home for grand growth through collaboration. This is your space to connect, create, and collaborate in a community of heart-centered entrepreneurs and change makers. Hosted by our community, this podcast brings collaboration to life. You will meet members who share their wisdom, offer insights and practical tips, and even interview each other. If you're ready for more clarity, stronger connections, and better results in your business, you are in the right place. Listen in, connect with us, and be part of something grand. Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast. I'm Susan, your host for today, and I'm super excited because today's guest is Danny Bermond, better known as Captain JV. Danny helps coaches, consultants, and experts attract ideal clients and grow their businesses through the power of joint venture partnerships. Over the past 5 years, he's worked with more than 500 JV partners and supported countless launches, summits, giveaways, webinars, and collaborative campaigns that have generated over $5 million in revenue. Oh, wow. He's built a network of more than 5,000 professional relationships across a wide range of industries, and he has become known as someone who doesn't just teach partnerships, he actively creates them. What I love about Danny's approach is that he combines the human side of relationship building with practical systems that help entrepreneurs create sustainable collaboration opportunities. He even teaches business owners how to train their teams and VAs to support their partnership efforts, something I'm excited to learn more about. If you've ever wondered how to move beyond networking and start creating strategic partnerships that grow your business, you're going to love today's conversation. Danny, welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast.
Thank you, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm super excited. And people know you as Captain JV. What exactly is a JV and why should entrepreneurs care about them?
So basically, a JV, a joint venture, is basically a mechanism where when you are promoting your business, instead of having to go out, sell to people, instead of having to advertise, what you effectively have is a network of other businesses working as salespeople on your behalf. You have other businesses, they don't compete with your business, they complement your business, and they're enthusiastic about you, they like what you do, they want to tell their community about you. So essentially what you have is, think of it as having a free sales team that you're hiring, you're not paying anything for them, so they are actively promoting what you do.
Not paying for them, that sounds very exciting. But you do pay something usually afterwards.
Well, you do and you don't. I mean, so there are different ways that you can partner with other businesses. So some businesses will just agree to, let's just give a random example. You might be an accountancy firm and you might be a financial advisor. So if you're a financial advisor, you might work with high net worth individuals. They need a good accountant. They're not very happy. The accountant they work with at the moment. At the same time, there's an accountant who works with a business owner that's got valuable assets that need protecting. They'll promote a financial advisor. And you might, the two sides may basically agree to promote each other without commission, because essentially it's commensurate, right? You're sending a roughly equivalent amount of clients to each other. And it kind
in
of...
some industries,
you're being, you're being compensated by the fact that you're supporting each other.
Yeah. And some industries, there's you can't do commissions and referrals. And
so correct. I mean, for example, legal, in a lot of countries, there are restrictions on things like that. Correct.
Yeah. You know, people just do general networking and they find sort of people that they meet, but they sometimes find referral partners. So some of them can be with an affiliate commission agreement and some would be just trading, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's a finder fee and sometimes it's just without. There's no formal agreement at all. You know that your clients need, you can help your clients with certain things, but there's certain things that you can't help. If, say, for example, it might be that you're a branding agency, but you don't do implementation. You don't deal with tactics. So you don't deal with things like, you don't build websites, or it may be that you don't run social media campaigns. So you refer your clients to those businesses. Yeah. It's called a joint business.
a really powerful strategic alliance in that sense is when you both give each other clients back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. We call it, we use the language joint venture because it's intentional, right? You're both consciously agreeing. You're both intentionally agree. You know, there's an intent level of intentionality that you're both saying, I am going to be very mindful to look for clients that need your help and vice versa. I think the attraction of joint ventures in particular is that no one likes selling themselves. You ask most business owners, they hate standing up in a room talking about their own business, right? But if I said to those same people, look at another business owner in the room, and I'd like you to stand up for a couple of minutes and talk about what they do, we'd be very happy to do that. I think the other thing about that is that people feel much, much more. It's one thing if I stand up and talk about what I do, great. But if someone else who's not part of my business talks about me, that's much more powerful.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually done that in a networking group where people have gotten, the activity was to talk about the person to the left of you.
Right. Right.
And you're in a panic then to try to figure out a few things to say and looking them up on LinkedIn and everything to get some good words.
You're not allowed to talk about yourself. You have to talk about the other business. But there's a really valuable lesson because that's what joint ventures are all about. It's basically you're going into the whole agreement with the understanding that when I put myself out to help you, you're going to want to do the same for me. So you have this beautiful ecosystem, right, where businesses are basically all going out of their way to support each other.
Well, this would lead to finding those right people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, correct.
So how do you find somebody that is a perfect joint venture partner?
Well, the first thing is you're making sure that you're part of the right network. So, for example, being part of the Grand Connection group, you need to be discerning about, you know, when you're checking out a networking group, for example, do the people in that networking group represent the kind of industry or the type of people who I like to work with? But also, I think the other important thing is that if you are part of a supportive networking group, there's the support that the group gives, there's the quality of there's the type of businesses, there's also the quality of the business owners, right? Are those business owners people who are really in their heart and soul committed to going out and helping you find business? There are a lot of networking groups that talk the talk. You know, we do lots of training for our members, we provide support, we preach givers gain, but the members of that group are not really committed to doing that. I have been to in-person networking groups where there was one group, for example, that wanted to bring a graphic designer into the group, and he told me afterwards, no one even wanted to see my portfolio. Well, that's strange, right? You're thinking, okay, you want to bring someone into that group who you can support his business approaches. But that's because all the members were looking at is what they could get out of it, right? They weren't focusing on like, well, we want to see what you do in your branding business because we want to support, we want to refer clients to you. We need to see we need to see your output. So it's picking up cues when you're looking at looking at people you can partner with, when you're looking at networking groups, you need to pay a particular attention, right? Those members, those people, what is their starting point? Is their first thing to launch into immediately launch into what they do, what they're looking for from you? Or do they start, or they come more from a place of, oh, I'd love to hear more about your business. You know, what can I do to support you?
So when people try to pitch first, it just pushes other people away, and you don't build any relationship there, and they just right away sense that you might not be the right person to partner with, or perhaps don't have the same values as them in building a relationship.
Correct. And even if you don't pitch first, I sometimes come across people who they want to talk to me, but their level of interest that they pay me is superficial. I mean, you know, if I'm going to meet with a business that I see potential in what they do, and I want to think about how we might be able to collaborate, how I can support them, I will, you know, I'll go on, jump onto a meeting where I might spend half an hour just focused on asking them what they do and say, okay, well, you know, we can do a follow-up meeting where I can tell you a bit more about what I do. And that's because over half an hour, there's a lot to find out. Like, you know, why did you start your business, right? Who do you serve? What problem are you solving? How did you get into what you do? Right. What's your mission? Right. Where are they? You know, where are your clients when they come to you? Where are they when they finish working with you? it's all about stuff, because if you want to go and if you want to go support that business and collaborate with them, you've got to have a really good understanding of where they come in, and you have to have a really good understanding of what their passion is, what their mission is. Then you're in a much stronger position to refer people to them.
Yeah, so you actually do this. You have clients who you are helping them find JV partners. So you must really have to know your clients well.
Correct, correct. I'm typically, when I'm looking at potential partners, there are up to 30 questions I'll be asking them about everything to do with their business. Like questions about, like, roughly like what sort of audience size do you work with? How engaged is your audience in terms of, like, when you send emails out, you know, typically what percentage of people open your emails, click through on your emails? Can you tell me a bit more about your audience avatar? You know, what's the sort of profile? Is that level of granularity, because all those nuances, all that level of detail will determine whether who they're a fit for. And you don't know that without asking the right questions.
I know that when you talked, I first met you and I talked about partnerships. Like, when I sometimes meet people and I go to places where people are pitching their JVs, they're saying, oh, I have this program and I give a 30% commission. I'm thinking, I don't care what your commission is. I don't even know you. I don't see your program until I get to know you, and I've heard great reviews about you. And I know that what I'm selling, if I'm putting you in front of my people, it needs to be absolutely amazing. So they're looking for these, I guess, either the one-sided one, which is, you know, I've got a great commission, promote me. And then there's ones that say, I'll do a commission with you, you do a commission with me, and it needs to be this even Steven on both sides. Yeah. Right. And then when I met you, it was sort of like, it was very organic. You wanted to understand, you know, what opportunities there are in the Grand Connection for your clients. And then also on the other side, how it could support both of us. And what didn't have to be even. I really like that.
Be honest with you, it very rarely is a partnership even. It's very often a situation where your audience might respond slightly better to what I do than my audience responds to you. It doesn't really necessarily matter, because the place you should be coming from is, I want to work with this partner because actually they are genuinely offering something that I don't do. They're solving a problem that my audience need to solve. I'm doing my audience a service by telling them about what we do. That has to be your starting point. And obviously it's a bonus that potentially you've got something that their audience wants as well.
Yeah.
That's what you have to couple. If you're simply doing it because you want something back, that can hurt you, because you can say, well, I'm going to promote you because I want you to promote me. But it may be actually that promoting them may not be as beneficial for you, because it's not exactly what you need. And you can end up burning your email list by promoting too many people who are, you know, what their offer is really isn't necessarily the right thing for your audience. But you have to be really, really careful, especially as I've noticed an erosion in trust, right? When people look at emails to promote other people's offers, people are a little bit more cautious before they decide to click through or sign up for someone else's stuff. That is something that is a danger that you have to avoid. That don't necessarily go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I really want you to promote me, so I'll promote you. What if what you promote is just something that's just not relevant to your audience? And then your audience starts to get annoyed. They start to think, well, why do you keep telling me about stuff that's not related? Like in my case, for example, my audience are very interested in stuff that's closely related to JVs. So if it's slightly too far removed, it needs to be something to do with joint ventures. It needs to be something to do with tactics that will grow your audience, that will bring more clients to you. Once we get a little bit more removed from that, the audience just doesn't respond as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to get started partnering, let's say I have been doing JV, so I kind of, but like 5 years ago, I didn't even know what it meant. I remember when I first met you, Captain JV, what does that mean? Anyways, where did that name come from? Why did you call yourself Captain JV?
Just because I've been doing, you know, because I've been doing JV so intensely for such a long period of time, this is really my space.
Someone start calling you that and it just took off?
Correct. Correct.
Well, it's a great name. I remember it all the time. People always remember it too. Like it really stands out. Yeah.
Thank you very much. But yeah, to do joint ventures, there's really a few things that you have to have in place. The first thing is, you have to have a proven offer. So before you start asking people to promote you, you need to know that the service that you provide or the product you provide is something that you've sold before, people have bought, people like. So you know that you can roll it out more widely. The second thing you need to do is you need to have something free that you can offer people. But before people buy from you, they need to have a taste of what you're like to work with. They also, then you need to prove to them that you could help to solve the problem that they are suffering from. So they need to have enough of an experience of how you work to know that you're credible, to know that you are trustworthy, to know that you have a capability to help them solve the issue that they're struggling with. Once they've gone through that process, then you can send them to something. So you might, for example, give a freebie away that they, so you give them a tool that really helps them to solve their problem, or you run some live training that basically gets them to start thinking about why are they having the problem they have, what can they do about it, and then they can go and get in touch with you. So we've talked so far about the first thing is having a proven offer. The second thing is having something free that you can give them, whether it's a tool that you can download or some training. The third thing you need to do is you need to have an audience. Okay, so there's a bit of a chicken and egg situation because sometimes people want to do JV partnerships, they don't have an audience. But you need to, obviously, because if you want people to reciprocate, if you're saying to people, can you promote me and I can promote you? But as a starting point, you need to find a few people who will come on board to share with you, with their audience, what you do. So I've got a freebie. You know, can I, for example, speak to some of the members in Grand Connection and they're excited about my tool and my program, my methodology? You know, can they promote my freebie? As your audience grows, you'll find it easier to get more partners on board, obviously. But there will be people who believe in what you do. They'll be interested in what you do. They'll be prepared to support you. There are also some great promotions out there to help you to grow your list. For example, Tom Matson runs a program called 1,000 Personal Tribe to help you to grow your list. Catherine O'Leary. So there's growing your list. You need to have a one sheet, which means you need to have, you know, if you want people to promote you, they need to know a little bit about what is my program, who am I serving, who's my target audience, what's the, if I've got a webinar or a launch coming up, what are the dates going to be, what commission do I offer, so on. So having a simple Google document that you can share with people about your program. And then finally, you need to have the right tech in place, which means that if you want people to promote you, you need to have a way to track people. Because how are you going to know if that partner is actually a good partner? You're only going to know if they're a good partner or not if you can track how many clicks they got, how many opt-ins they got, how many sales they got. So imagine you've got five people promoting you at the same time. How do you know if it was Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C? If you have an affiliate system in place, every time somebody opts into your webinar, every time somebody opts into your group training program, you know who was the person who sent that lead to you, who was the person who sent that sale to you. So you've got to have that tech set up. Okay, so let's just talk about those things again. You're going to have, number one, you're going to have a proven offer that people will that people will buy. The second thing is you need to have a freebie. You need to have something free that you can give people so they join your email list. The third thing you need to have is you need to have an email list that you're growing, right? So yes, you might be starting from zero, but that is a really important thing that you grow your email list. Fourth thing you need to have is a one sheet. So if you're asking somebody to promote you, there's a sheet, simple sheet you can give them of information about what you do. Finally, you need to have tech in place so you can track everybody.
Oh, and that one sheet, I guess that includes a little bit about your offer,
It's what the offer is, what the problem copper solves, what the freebie is, who your target audience is, and then just the dates of your promotion and any commission, or if you can promote them back as well, let them know about that. And also, like, if they want to promote you, where do they get started? Is there an affiliate page where they sign up that they can go to, for example?
Yeah. And then it's up to you to decide if that's right for with somebody.
Yeah, right.
There's lots of events that happen, and you run an event too where you bring potential JV partners together.
Correct.
And then people share their what's on their one sheet, what their offer is and what they offer their JV partners and what they're selling and who your audience is. Because you do need to see that match of audience. Is the audience matching, right?
Correct. So I run a meetup on the last Wednesday of the month. it's quite a unique meetup in that the people who come are different every month because I handpick people to invite. And that's because I want my clients to get to meet new JV partners each month. And people are meeting more, say, you know, I've got a launch coming up, I've got a webinar coming up. These are the people I'd like to collaborate with.
So let's jump back to the poor person that doesn't have a list.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we going to do? So we can be in the grand giveaway. That's a great thing to do to yeah. start making your list. Once you have something like a lead magnet, you can come to Grand Connection events and start sharing that and other networking events. And we are also, as part of the Grand Connection, we are a partner with Go Connection. See, there's over 100 events a month all over the world that you can attend as a Grand Connection member. So that's a very easy way to start building your list. Participate in the grand giveaway. Members, if you're listening right now, make sure you get your gift at the giveaway. There's two a year. We're always open for contributions. And that, you know, some members get 100 people in the giveaway. Great.
Yeah, exactly. So a good starting point is coming to the Grand Connections events, coming to their giveaways. But also, you've got leverage, right? So if you ask a pop, the joint venture does not have to be, you know, give me an apple, I'll give you an apple. It could be, you give me an apple, I'll give you an orange. So it could be someone, you say to somebody, listen, I have a really good freebie that you might want to promote to your audience. So I've got a JV checklist that'd be really relevant to your audience. I'm just building up my audience from scratch, but I can support you by, number one, I could commit to supporting you in 6 months to a year from now once my listeners grow. That's the first thing you could do. The second thing you could do is to say to them, I've got some fantastic connections. Is there anyone I can introduce you to? I could say I'd be happy to offer you a complimentary place on my program in return for you promoting me. So just think about, it's not so much like you promote me, I'll promote you, but it's think of it in terms of you've helped me. What can I do to support you? So not everyone will promote you. It's always going to be thinking straight away, okay, well, I'm only going to promote you if you promote me. It might be just something else really valuable you can do to support them, which will be more than bring them on board.
And another thing I've seen is people can be very active. Like you can promote somebody. Let's say my list is small, but I want to partner with somebody who's got a bigger list, and we're going to just do a reciprocal type of a, I'll promote you, you promote me. Well, maybe I promote you 5 times and you've got a couple of different programs going on, or you got your lead magnet and it's being tracked. So I know, and you can see that I'm doing some more frequency versus, you know, one or two emails, which might be what they share back. So even out.
Yeah. The other thing you can do is with some partners, they may be open to a financial reward. So you could also say to partners that, you know, I offer a flat fee for every X number of opt-ins that you give me. All right. So, you know, if you generate X number of instead of paying them commission for any sales they make, you say to them, I'd be very happy to offer you, you know, this amount for any opt-ins I get, which I believe you me will be much cheaper than anything you get from Facebook.
Yeah.
And much better.
Google ads.
You are right. And much better quality, because, you know, with Facebook, you don't even always know where these leads are coming from, right? You don't know the quality of them. Whereas with a partner, you've actually taken the time to find out who is their audience, right? Who is your tribe? What kind of people are they? What problem are they suffering from? You know who you are. You know who's coming onto your list.
Some Grad Connection members. There's one, Mark Mawinney. Have you met Mark?
Mark Mawinney, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Coaching Jungle. I was trying to remember. Coaching Desert. No, it's Jungle. Coaching Jungle. But he offers an opportunity where you pay a fee to do a joint venture with him, and he doesn't take a commission. So, you know, it's a way that someone could do something.
Right. There's a fixed fee. There's a fixed fee, but you know that they're going to be sending multiple emails out for you. They're going to be featuring you on the podcast and so on. Mm-hmm. And the thing to do is just to before you commit to that, is just get some background information on who else have they promoted and what kind of results do they get, so you know what you're buying into.
Yeah. But yeah, it's easy to get because we're part of a community and you can ask around and learn from other people.
Correct. You get references, you speak to other people who want to.
Yeah.
Let's go back a few years, right? You had the pandemic and you had a lot of people stuck at home and people with a lot of time in their hands, willing to kind of look at all sorts of coaching offers and programs that they're willing to buy into. People have obviously in the 5 years now since the pandemic. That's probably maybe 4.5 years. More and more people are going back to, you know, people. There's more and more hybrid kind of working and networking where people are both online and meeting people face to face. But what I would say what has happened is that in the 5 years since the pandemic, people have become more discerning. I think during the pandemic and in the time immediately after, there are an awful lot of coaches and experts who jumped on the bandwagon. And those are coaches and experts who are of varying quality, shall we say, right? Some are very good, some are dubious. And as a result, I think there's been something of a trust erosion that when people, and it goes back to what I said before, where a lot of people who do JD partnerships go, well, if you promote me, I'll promote you, right? And so they get a high volume of emails where people are promoting all sorts of people. And they start feeling, well, why am I being promoted to all these things? They're not relevant to me. So I think there are two things at play. I think that that people are seeing what's coming through and they're being a little bit more cynical. Are these people actually any good, right? Is this just you promoting somebody because, you've got an incentive to promote this person? Would you actually believe in them? So there is a little bit of there's definitely an erosion of trust, but there's also an erosion of attention, right? There's an attention deficit because people are so overwhelmed with so many people trying to push offers at them, they're just zoning out, not paying attention to them. Now, what that means is that a couple of things. It means that before you rush into promoting someone just because you want them to promote you, you've got to be discerning. You've got to actually look at their offer and say, hold on a second. Is this relevant to my audience, right? What are promoted offers like this in the past? How is it done, right? How my audience react to it? Like, for example, it might be a topic that actually promoted before quite a few times and your audience have just heard about it again and again and again and they've had enough. So I think the first thing is you've got to be a little bit more picky about who you agree to support and not support. I think you have to do a little bit more due diligence about who you're promoting to make sure they are credible. But then having made a decision to promote somebody, don't just half-heartedly say, well, I'll quickly knock out a really quick email to promote you. And that's what people do. Often they get, in the world of joint ventures, you have something called swipe copy. And swipe copy is when someone says, okay, I'd really, really want you to promote some training that I'm doing. I'm going to give you a pre-written email to promote. And what happens is the partner just takes it and copies it word for word. And the problem is when you're promoting somebody else, you can see if it's your alternative voice or not. And if people feel, oh my God, you're just promoting somebody else, then they don't pay any attention.
Well, sometimes it says insert name here still left in it because they've delegated it to somebody. They just VA's copied it over, right?
Exactly. The swipe copy is, it's basically a foundation, right? It's a little bit like the suggestion of how to put the email, but you should never be using the swipe copy verbatim as it is. You should be putting your own tone of voice. Like if someone is talking about solving a particular problem, well, how about write about how you've experienced that problem yourself or how your client has experienced that problem. Talk about what they struggled with, what they're trying to solve. Go and talk about the person you're promoting and say, why are they right? What are they doing that's different to other people? Right? How can they help your audience solve that problem? And when you're coming from a place where you're really talking from your heart about what people struggle with and how this person can make a difference, then your audience start paying attention because they don't feel it's just another email. You're speaking in language that they feel resonates with them. And as a result, they're paying attention to you. And they'll be paying attention to the person you're promoting because they'll feel, no, you're not just talking about somebody because there's something in it for you. You're talking about that somebody because this is a problem you guys have. And I'm telling you, you need to follow what they do because it's going to help you. Then you're coming from a place where people pay attention because that you've written in language that is resonates with them, so they pay attention. But also because you have personalized what you've written, they also feel they trust you more, right? So it's both attention, it's grabbing their attention using your own tone of voice, but it's also injecting sincerity and intentionality into this so they actually feel that you'll be trustworthy, and you're not just basically trying to earn some commission from somebody.
Yeah. And I guess you can't do too many, right? That's why you said the discerning part, because your list is just going to be like, what's going on?
And that's where I help clients. One of the things my clients worry about is they don't want to burn their list. And what I say to them is, there are lots of ways you can help firstly, if you were to promote 50 partners, right, what you'll find is the 50 partners you collaborate with, out of those 50, there'll probably be about 10 that bring in the lion's share of your leads and sales. So what you need to do is, when you are running your marketing plan, you need to focus on how can I market those 10 people, and then with the remaining 40 people, how can I still do something to help those people without burning my list? Because you can't give equal attention to 50 people. Your email list will not like you for that.
Well, that's it with my emails. Like I have 25 events a month of our own.
Right. So there are ways to support your partners. Like for example, some of my clients will have, in a typical month, they'll have a couple of partners maybe where they do what's known as a solo email, where they give those really top partners lots of attention. And then some of their smaller partners that don't do as well, what they might have is a weekly newsletter or a fortnightly newsletter and say, here are some really interesting people who are doing some cool things that you might want to know about.
That a lot at the bottom. That's one of the great places I go. Most people say, oh, it's just the top that reads. Susan reads the bottom, because I'm looking for all the people that are JV partners at the bottom of people's emails.
It's about honesty from you. I would say to the people who deserve to be, to people who really deserve your attention, put your heart and soul into that solo email. And for the people who don't need as much attention, right, what you're doing is you're saying, look, here are some really interesting people who are doing some cool stuff. Check them out. Yeah? But it's just making sure that you reserve your solo emails for those top partners. And when you do them properly. Put your heart and soul into the people who really deserve. Put your heart and soul in.
Well, what we do is with our top partners is they get to come on our stage.
With our business, there is the Pareto's principle applies to everything. In that there's that rule that about 20% of the people bring in, in any given situation, 20%, the top 20% produce 80% of the results. Your top 20% sell, the top, if you have 10 salespeople, often it's two or three people in that sales team who bring in 80% of the sales, right? If you're running a store with 10,000 products, like a supermarket, right, about a couple of thousand of those products will bring in 80% of the sales. And it's the same with partners. So it's just always be mindful who are the top 20% who are really rocking, and make sure you give those people your maximum attention.
So to be successful in JVs, it's starting to sound like it's two sides of the skill set you need. You need to be having the side where you have a great product and service and a JV program that is well-tracked and works well for people. And it's a good program.
Particularly with erosion of trust, right? People need to know, right, are you good at what you do, right? So you need that from this proven. That's really important.
And then the other side is reciprocating in a way that you are building that trust and doing a good job reciprocating. I know that, I get reminders from, I'll be doing JVs, and I really am grateful for the reminders that say, hey, have you sent out your email? And I'm like, oh my God, and I forward it on to somebody and I say, we forgot about this. So it's important that you, as a JV partner with someone else, you have a system on your side that you manage your JV partners, that you know when you're promoting them, and you can be of service to them on that.
Yeah. And if I can add to that, don't rely on your partners to be on top of things, because they often won't be. A lot of your partners will be solopreneurs that fly by the seat of their pants, and you have to make sure you remind them, right? Firstly, you need to be very clear with partners. You need to signpost and ask them, like, when are you, like, oh, great, you're supporting my launch on the, I've got a 2-week launch event in July. Can you remind me what dates you're supporting me? Because if people actually commit to dates, that they're always more likely to show up for you. The second thing is, don't think that they've remembered that. Remind them like a month before, remind them a week before, just to remind you, we've got you down to support our launch on the 2nd or 4th of July. Do you have everything you need? Yeah. You're promoting us tomorrow. Do you have everything you need? Right? People forget. Right? The people's that you're there. The VA goes on a vacation. Oh my God. I didn't realize our VA is going on vacation. That person's got access to all our stuff. Sorry, we can't promote you because our PA's not here.
That's happened to me lots of times. I've had somebody say, it was in my VA wasn't here. We couldn't get it out. And then right. I'm like, I counted on those.
Yeah. And that's an important question. That's the sort of thing that I do. I ask questions like, do you have a VA? Who's doing stuff? Who's doing logistics? Are you doing logistics? Do you have someone else doing logistics? Do I have their contact details?
Yeah. So you as a JV manager, you really help make sure that when something's running, it's all organized and tracked and everybody knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of cat herding, basically.
Well, I feel this way that way about what I'm doing too. Especially like my summit. Oh my gosh.
You have to give people so many reminders because people don't remember anything, but people like you for the reminders. People remember that, right? Mm-hmm. And you're on top of people. They remember that you're on top of people and they value and respect that.
No, I don't mind the reminders. I'm very happy to get, you put there's the link to the swipe again, which I can't remember where it was given to me before.
Plus, people are busy. People, unfortunately, stuff goes into spam. Yeah. Emails go into spam. I find with WhatsApp, I get WhatsApp messages that get buried at the top of my WhatsApp. I've got any given day, I've got hundreds of WhatsApp messages that come through. So very often, someone sends me a WhatsApp message and it gets buried in the pile. Just bear in mind that your audience, they're juggling so much. They're suffering from information overload. They have tons of emails that come into their inbox every day. They are relying on you to remind them.
Yeah. And in your, you have a training program too to help people learn how to be JV.
Correct. So
how
I
go through in that.
Correct. So I have a joint venture collaboration community is designed for people, for busy business owners who they've got a VA managing their JVs, and the VA basically needs a proven system to do everything. So I've got the joint venture collaboration community. There is there's 10 training modules on how to manage JV partnerships. There's office hours where you can ask many questions, and then there's a monthly meetup where you get to meet new JV partners every month.
Well, that's powerful for people just getting started, right?
Yeah.
And if you're too busy, you can send someone on your team to go to.
Yeah, that's our point. I designed is basically it's the networking group that you don't need to go to because you send it VA to it.
So I was at it once, the mixer part where you bring people together. And I noticed there were a lot of people that were the VA from so-and-so.
Yeah. Right.
And they were introducing themselves very well. So you've trained them well. And it's great because then that person can focus on, their client work and still be creating momentum in their business. So very good service that you've put together for your clients. Now, I just want to talk about some of your most successful JVs because I want people to know that this is super powerful. So you've worked with more than 500 JV partners and you've helped facilitate over $5 million in partnership-driven revenue. So thinking back, what are the most successful JV partners have in common? Like what makes it very successful for them?
I think the most successful JV partners, what they all have in common is number one, that they've got a responsive email list. Not necessarily a big, it's not about having the biggest email list, it's having the most responsive email list. I've worked with partners who've got a few thousand people on their list, but the people on that list are active and engaged. So firstly, do you have a healthy email list? Do you have a good relationship with your email list? Do your email list listen to you? When you say to your email list, you need to go and this person is doing live training next week, you need to go to that training. Will your email list listen to you and go sign up for that? So that's the first thing. The best JV partners I work with have all got a very good, they've all got a proven offer, and they've got really, really, also they've got freebies or events that people know that are, again, proven. They've run these events before. They know that people sign up for them. They know that people SD Star is a very good example. Right, SD has a proven webinar that she's run it again and again. We know that people will show up for it. We know that people will buy from it. It's something that she's got a formula. She's got a proven formula. and she just runs with it again and again and again. There's a saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it, right? If you've got an event that you're running and it goes well, just keep doing it. But I think the thing is that the successful JV partners are ones that all have a process in place for their partners that they follow, as in have a process for following up with partners. They have a process for meeting partners and making agreement with them, as in, you know, they're systematic in terms of reaching out to the right partners. They know who the good partners are. They're systematic in terms of asking the right questions to make sure those partners are a fit. And then they have a very rigid follow-up process. So those partners are very clear on what they're doing, when they're doing it, and they have everything they need, and they don't forget what they need to do. Right. So let's just go through that again. The most successful partners have a proven offer and a proven training event. I gave Estes an example that does well. They've got a responsive list that listens to them. They've got a proven process in terms of how they follow up with partners, how they meet with partners, and then what I call the follow-up process. After a partner said, yes, we'll promote you, right? They have a follow-up process where they agree with the partner what dates the promotions are going to be. They make sure they send everything that they need weeks ahead. They don't get sent swipe copy a few days before. They get it weeks ahead. And then they'll be reminded, or get lots of reminders and lots of signposting so nothing gets forgotten, right?
Yeah, no, so the whole thing about a system and process is really powerful. And
yeah,
I guess the beginning, you're kind of figuring out what that perfect, as far as the follow-up, I mean, that's what you train, right? So, but how like Esty, I know that Esty's funnel is very solid. I've actually said to people, sign up for your funnel right at the top. So you can see how well she does it.
Right, she's got a file that she's used again and again and again. Yeah. Like people sign up for something, they get a whole series of follow-up emails, and they've got a whole series of reminders and reminders and reminders and reminders.
And she gives great value throughout the way. She has good stories in there. Yeah. It's very well done.
Yeah. You don't forget anyone who's signed up. They don't forget about it. They know they remember to show up for it. And then also externally, there's also a very strong process in place to make sure that all the partners remember what they're supposed to be doing and when they're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah, so keeping everybody organized and having that framework around it. Yeah. Super powerful. Now, you talked about a successful collaboration, just to give us a story. You mentioned Grant. You want to tell us a little bit about that happened? You started a joint webinar?
So we going back more than 10 years ago, and this is a really good example of a joint venture, right? Grant Leboff is a marketing expert. He's an expert on marketing strategy. We ran a joint webinar where he focused on talking about what you need to do in terms of your marketing fundamentals. He talked about your messaging, and what we talked about is what happens when people make that. What happens when your audience make contact with you? What do you need to capture their details? Or what's the nurturing process you need to use? You've got them onto your email list. What do you then need to do to make them build a relationship with you? Right. Obviously, in order to get them to go onto your email list, you've got to have the right messaging. Right. So one half of the partnership was the person focusing on the messaging. We focused on the actual tactics and mechanism you need to use to build that relationship with your audience. And what we did is we were both because we were cross-promoting, there were people from his audience who signed up to the event, people from our audience who signed up to the event, and we both benefited. And, you know, there were a couple of people from his audience who signed up and became clients, who are still clients to this day. And that was 2015. So you're talking about, you know, over 10 years later.
Have you done another webinar like that with him again? Like, did you?
We've done more than one webinar together, and we have... That was really my first foray into kind of joint ventures. Go back kind of 11 years ago, the days where people used to use GoToMeeting rather than Zoom. Do you remember GoToMeeting?
Yeah.
And that's what we did. Joint venture does not have to be signing up. I talked about the Pareto's principle. It's not necessarily about quantity. It's not about necessarily signing up a big mass of partners. Sometimes it's just collaborating with one other person, right, who's got a very engaged audience and doing something together.
Well, and I think of it as a ladder too. Like you're working your way up. You know, you're not gonna. I'm not gonna. You know, collaborate with a great big multinational company on day one, right?
Right.
You may never. And it's sometimes it's the small people where you can really work together, because get someone who's at the same level as you and work and from there, work your way up. And in 6 months or a year, you're going to look back and go, whoa, I'm now up. I'm here. Like I definitely the Grand Connection. We have we've moved up the ladder on the size of the collaboration partners. Because, you know, we've gotten more organized by learning from people like yourself and other members of the community. And our list is growing and our offers become more clear. And it just, you know, we're hitting those things that you say we need to have in place to make better.
It's worth saying something else also. You'll be surprised. You'll often be able to work with people who've got a much larger email list than you do. So you'll sometimes be in a situation where you've got 5,000 people on your list, and then you might come across someone who's got 30,000 people on your list. Now, why would they work with you? They'll work with you because you'll say to them, listen, my list is 5,000, but the people on my list are engaged and they like to buy. You know, and, you know, if I tell them to buy into your offer, they'll buy into your offer. So obviously that's very attractive to somebody. So I would say don't get imposter syndrome. Don't think, well, because someone's much bigger than me, they won't work with me. Often that's how your growth comes. It's stepping up and saying, you know what? I've got a really, really good offer, and I've got a really engaged audience. I think they're going to be much bigger partners who enjoy working with me. And that's really where your growth starts to take off.
Oh, exciting. So everybody listening here, this is really exciting. What's one action, so for our listeners, that they can take away this week to create more collaboration opportunities in their business right now?
For the first thing is, whatever network you're part of, right, seek out people in your network who've got an email list, right? Look around your network. If you're part of like a networking group like Grand Connection, look at the people in your group and say, who are the people in my group who've got a offer that was complementary to me, right? They don't compete with me. They're doing something that I don't do, but is relevant to my audience. That's a really, really good starting point to look at.
Right? Yeah. And we're reaching that same audience as you.
Yeah, exactly. We're reaching that same audience as you. You don't have to start spending lots of time searching in other places. Start off with your own network. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's lots of people in the network. And once you're very clear who the person you're looking to collaborate with is, you start asking in your grand ask who you want to meet. And people in the network know people. So your
network
is exponential in size.
Right. It starts to grow organically. Also, once you start collaborating with somebody, you can then say to them, well, who else do you collaborate with that would be a good fit for me? Yeah.
And then you also can see when you're involved in something, maybe it's a summit or a book, a group bookmark collaboration book, you'll see, well, they've all come together. They could also be collaborative partners for you.
Yeah.
Because you're already involved in something with the same audience. So It just grows. And I can tell that's how you got to your 5,000 relationships. It did just grow, didn't it?
Exactly.
Well, where can people learn more about you, Danny? And I know you have a gift.
Absolutely. So go straight to www.captainjv.co. And when you go to that page, you will get my free gift. I have something called a JV Readiness Checklist. And what that does is that checklist takes you through all the elements you need to have in place before you start partnering, because as I've said throughout this podcast, you can't start partnering straight away. There's certain things that that you need to have as a foundation. And what that checklist will do is it will take you through the basic foundation that you need to have before you can start partnering.
Oh, that's a great gift for everyone getting started. I'm going to download it. So Danny, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights, experience and wisdom around collaboration and partnerships. You are definitely Captain JV. And one of the things we talk about often at the Grand Connection is that opportunities rarely happen in isolation. They happen through people, relationships, trust, and the willingness to create value together. I think today's conversation is a powerful reminder that successful partnerships aren't about having the biggest audience or the most connection. They're about building genuine relationships, creating value, and following through. To our listeners, I encourage you to take one idea from today's conversation and put it into action this week. Reach out to someone, nurture a relationship, and explore a collaboration that will take the next step on a partnership opportunity you've been thinking about. If you'd like to learn more about Danny and Captain JV, be sure to check out all the links in the show notes, especially his JV readiness gift. And don't forget to grab your Grand Growth Bundle and your free guest passes at grandconnection.ca/gifts. And if you're looking for a community where entrepreneurs come together to connect, create, and collaborate, we'd love to welcome you to the Grand Connection. Until next time, keep connecting, creating, and collaborating. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Grand Connection podcast, where we achieve grand growth through collaboration together. If this episode sparked something for you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend looking for a community to support their growth. Before we sign off, today is a grand day to reach out to someone in your own network and reconnect. You never know where one conversation can lead. Until next time, let's connect, create, collaborate.